With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Today on the ZabeCast, Stephen A. Smith steps in some deep racial doo-doo. So bad he even had to go to the vaunted notes apology on his phone. Drew Olsen joins me from 97.3 The Game to talk about exactly how and why the Bucks on the verge of an NBA championship is a really big effing deal. All that plus nothing stirs debate like candy talk. Your 45-minute dose of pure me is locked and loaded, so buckle up and let's go!
Here we go!
Tuesday, July 13, 2021. Thank you for downloading. Let's get right to it. The NBA Finals are exciting. It was great to see the Bucks get off the mat and draw blood. It's a long way from over. Either way, Game 4 obviously will be pivotal, although technically Game 5 is the so-called pivotal Game 5. But we shall see. I'm enjoying this series, but then again, I'm biased. I am very much invested in and rooting hard for the Milwaukee Bucks for personal and, of course, professional reasons. I don't hate the Suns either. To me, they're an exciting, fun team, and they're somebody different. The television ratings are telling a much different story. And you can read into this whatever you want. You can exclude from this whatever you want. What you cannot do is say, A, it doesn't matter, or B, wait, what was my B? You can't say two things. You can't say it doesn't matter, and you can't say that it's anything but really, really bad from a pure television ratings perspective. And don't say streaming. People have been saying streaming now anytime it's convenient that ratings for television sporting events have gone down. Television ratings for the NFL are not going down. They remain, like, of the 30 top shows every year, according to the AC Nielsen company, 27 to 28 of them, if not more, are football games. It's the one thing impervious to time shifting, binge watching, streaming, and everything else. Everything else is going down, some more than others, and the NBA television ratings are in a free fall right now. And again, put your own reasons into it. I'm just giving you the numbers. Game two of the Bucks and Suns averaged 9.3 million viewers. That was down from 2 years ago, which is the last non-pandemic finals. There's no point in even comparing last fall's bubble number. But 2 years ago, Raptors-Warriors, involving a team from Canada, and with a Warrior team that had been severely wounded by the time they arrived at the doorstep of the championship, that drew 14 million. Oof. They shed 5 million viewers in 2 years. What's even worse? 2018. Warriors, Cavs, the last gasp of LeBron in Cleveland. The Warriors blew through them like grass through a goose, 4-0. Normally, sweeps deliver terrible ratings. Do you know what 2018's finals rated? Game two, when it was still a contest before the sweep was over? 18.4 million. So, in other words, in the span of 3 years, the NBA has shed half of its viewers on television for its most marquee event. That, my friends, is a disaster. And I am not going to say what the pie chart of reasons are. Everyone's pie chart is different, but this is bad. I'm enjoying the finals, but then again, apparently nobody else is. Maybe Milwaukee is the kiss of death. Maybe nobody knows the Suns. And nobody cares about the Suns. I don't know, but it's definitely not a good thing. Okay, moving on real quick before we get to our friend Drew Olsen. The Open Championship is this week, also known as the British Open, but properly called the Open Championship because it was the first and original Open Championship. The U.S. Open came along after that, and it's distinguished by saying the U.S. Open. I will still sometimes call it the British Open, just out of convenience and shorthand, and I don't get hung up on the whole, you know, it is the Open Championship. British Open, U.S. Open, you know what I'm talking about. Royal St. George's, a.k.a. Sandwich, which is near the village that it is in, is a really quirky-ass golf course. 10 years ago, it was won by Darren Clark. Great win, emotional win. He thought he was past his time to win a major. Wonderful. Did you know this, though? Sean Martin, who writes for, let's see here, PGAtour.com, showed a picture of two guys about to tee off on Sunday at Royal St. George's 10 years ago at the Open Championship. Two players. He writes, imagine correctly guessing 10 years ago which one of these players would be retired by now and which one would have won a major this year. You know who the two players are? Phil Mickelson and Anthony Kim. Wow. Kim was like 26 at the time, I'm guessing. He's long since retired and vanished, literally vanished like bin Laden from any public sightings and certainly any golf-related sightings. And Mickelson, still going on. That is pretty amazing to think. 10 years ago, Anthony Kim, Phil Mickelson teed off just 20 minutes ahead of the leaders. So in other words, they were in the mix 10 years ago. Anthony Kim gone, Phil Mickelson just won a major. All right, let's get to our man, Drew Olsen, my colleague and friend, to talk about what it's like right now in the city of Milwaukee.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you.
Not since Arthur Fonzarelli once, I don't know, I should know better the history of the show. It's been a long time since there's been this much excitement in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it's my joy now to say hello to my colleague, Mr. Milwaukee himself, the son of the Milwaukee County police officer and former head of the Baseball Writers of America and afternoon drive host on the game, Drew Olsen!
Hello, Zabe.
This is the happiest Milwaukee has been since Arthur Fonzarelli did what? I was about to say jump the shark, but that wasn't a good moment in the show.
No, that was not. Let's see. Happy moments and happy days. Anything not involving Chachi would be happy.
Pretty much. What a time. What a time. What a time. I am lucky to just be a ride-along, beloved yet adopted hometown son. You are the genuine article and a guy who has empty nested himself into the downtown urban lifestyle where the city is throbbing right now with Bucks fever. I mean,
it's been spectacular. It's been great. And the great thing about this is the sports success we've experienced in this market has been the Packers mostly. Now the Brewers making it to game 7 of the NLCS, which they lost at home. Part of the long, long line of near misses of late in our market. That was great, but it was unrequited because they didn't make it. They didn't win the pennant. We didn't get to celebrate that. The Deer District and the Bucks happening in the middle of summer is so sweet because the Packers' success has always taken place in the dead of winter when you don't really want to be outside at all. It's limited to indoor gatherings, lots of home gatherings. This, even when the Bucks are out of town and you have 20,000 people gathering for an event, is spectacular, unprecedented. We are we love a good party in this market, and we're loving this one.
And the party's going on. People don't understand, my listeners not from the area, don't understand that, yes, the Packers are liked by most people in Milwaukee, but they're not Milwaukee. They're Wisconsin, yes, just like Milwaukee is Wisconsin, but it's a slightly different thing. Also, I'm not sure how many markets have a football team that a city like Milwaukee, biggest city in the state, claims as their own, but they don't actually play closer than 2 hours away, and they don't have a hockey team, even though they have one of everything else, NBA, MLB, and NFL. It's an odd sort of split. Would you agree?
I would agree. We have a AAA hockey team, the Milwaukee Admirals, AAA affiliate, or the AHL affiliate of the Nashville Predators.
I don't mean to slight them. And the reason you don't have a hockey team, tell people, is why?
Because we have a basketball team. We are not big enough as a market to support both playing simultaneously.
Really?
In the same season. No, you think about it.
I heard it was because of the Blackhawks and Bill Wirtz.
That was a part of. Now, Milwaukee was on the doorstep back in the day, in the late 80s, early 90s, of getting an NHL team. The Pettits owned it at the time. They were gazillionaires who donated the Bradley Center to the city, a $70 million gift of their own largesse. But they were close. They owned the Admirals. Lloyd Pettit was a longtime radio voice of the Blackhawks. And that was like the convenient excuse. They walked away from a surefire expansion bid because the price was $50 million and they thought that was too high at the time. That was a bad financial decision on their part. They thought the team would not be competitive fast enough for them to recoup their investment, which we know now is pretty silly because sports teams don't ever depreciate. They only appreciate, right? So the thing was, though, what it came down to is, had Milwaukee gotten that team and it had played in the Bradley Center, which was, by the way, designed for hockey. You were in the Bradley Center.
Yes.
It was an upside-down arena. There were more seats upstairs than there were downstairs. It was designed to watch hockey. And it was their building, and they owned the hockey team at the time. But the thing was that would have killed – the Bucks would have had to have left town because we just simply – you think about our configuration – we have Chicago 2 hours to the south. We have the lake 2 blocks to the east. And to the west, we have nothing until you get to Madison, which is an hour and a half away.
Right.
And they have a hockey team that's a going concern. So right. It just wasn't in the cards. I mean, we could have had hockey without the Bucks, but I'm pretty happy we have the Bucks these days.
Well, absolutely so. And of course, the miracle child, the golden child that is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, we could talk about him. Let me get back to the hockey for a second. You're right, Drew, that if you had two teams to fill the same building, you're going from 41 nights a year to 82 nights a year. And even if you said, well, we've got two separate groups of fans who would pay tickets to fill the seats, you don't have enough two sets of corporate entities to pay for the real high-dollar items like suites and club tickets and everything else, right?
Exactly. And unless the teams were owned by the same owner, you're competing for, you know, sponsors and the advertising dollars and the television rights and programming. Unless you owned a network, it just couldn't work. The population wouldn't support it. There's just not enough. As much as we love sports in Wisconsin, there's just not enough.
Yeah. The comparison of the Bucks to my Wizards has been rattling around my brain over the years. And I went and looked it up. I'd kind of thought that you guys had as much misery as we did. Not so. The Wizards have been far worse for far longer. I mean, the Bucks had ticklings. They had inklings of greatness. And, of course, they had the infamous trip to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 7, where they got the royal screw job from David Stern and company in that Game 7 against the Sixers. But there's been years in which you've had things going. It just sort of fell apart or never quite got traction.
Yeah, recently. I mean, the Bucks arc, they had – it's funny because it's a kinder, gentler. It's almost my childhood where every year the Bucks would win 50 games plus when Don Nelson was coaching and Sidney Moncrief and Terry Cummings, mm-hmm. Paul Pressey. Those teams were great teams, and they would invariably go to deep into the playoffs and then lose to either Boston or Philadelphia in the conference finals. And it was heartbreaking because people love those teams. They love the vibe of the old Milwaukee Arena, which is now home to the Admirals, interestingly enough, 11,052 capacity, the smallest building in the league,
yep.
Built in 1953. And people love that. But there was never, when they came up short, and there was never the coach has to go. He just can't win the big one. And there was never, break it up. And it was like, oh, man, that sucks. We'll get him next year. You know, there was never anger about it. It was bitter, sweet, but you still love that team and those teams every year. They were good. And then the Bucks had this like 20-year period where they just stumbled through the wilderness and they were awful.
Weren't as bad as the Wizards. I looked, Drew.
They were close.
You had one sub 20 win season. One. Wizards had way more. And you guys had things that were kind of going, and then injuries derailed you, whether it's Jabari Parker's knee or Andrew Bogut blowing up his elbow. You had stuff going. True. It just didn't quite get traction.
True. Until Giannis came, man, I'm telling you.
Right.
He has been a gift from the sports gods.
Well, and the thing about him is he had to be born of a different time and place, a different country. He had to come from outside of the often corrupting AAU star system of the U.S. And he's just built different. And that's what makes him comfortable in Milwaukee. And that's partly why he wanted to stay. And I'm telling you, you and I won't live long enough to see another one of these guys.
He is freakish. We spent time on the radio today trying to figure out when the last time a Wisconsin athlete was this dominant on this highest stage.
Ooh.
And I set the bar like I didn't want anybody telling me about Chad Moeller of the Brewers hitting for the cycle. That's not what we're talking about. Yeah. Or Bill Hall hit a home run on Mother's Day with a pink bat and his mom was in the stands. Yeah, those were nice moments.
Yeah.
But this was Rodgers in the Super Bowl run that
yes.
the Packers had in 11 had a game against Atlanta in the semifinal, whatever they call that in football.
Yes.
I don't even, I'm in basketball mode. The game before the NFC Championship game, right? So he annihilated Atlanta and he played a quarterback position about as well as I think it can be played. And I remember thinking like, you're not going to see this very often. And that's the mode we're in with Giannis right now. He's at the highest level the stage he's on. It's just spectacular. And it gets taken for granted. And to your point about him being from outside the country and outside the AAU thing, when Giannis has games like he's had the last couple of games, do you see the rest of the NBA tweeting about him like other stars? No, crickets, right? Crickets.
Yes and no. I think part of it is your usual flyover country sensitivity to us bastards on the coast. I get it. On the other hand, you're not wrong, but it's partly because Giannis doesn't have the typical American superstar swagger. He's not swaggerish. He's a golden child. He's beautiful. He's thoughtful. He's simple. He's got no tattoos, you know?
Okay.
I'm not saying he's not.
Why wouldn't the rest of the league take to that, though? Like, why would still, when KD went off against the Bucks, the entire league was tweeting, oh, man, KD was unbelievable tonight.
I know.
You know, they can appreciate him.
They can.
Like everybody else.
They can. And there are people, you have to be attuned to those who are singing his praises on a national level. I just talked to Tim Bontemps for ESPN Radio and ESPN.
I'm not talking media. I'm talking players.
Players
who are active on social. Yes.
Well, I can't. I don't even monitor that, Drew. I wouldn't even know if the players are saying that. Well, maybe because
talking about Booker and game one, or that's LeBron just tweeted about Chris Paul. You know, go get him, Chris Paul.
Fuck LeBron. Do
to go.
I know exactly. Well, maybe the
saying,
typical.
You mentioned about his peers. Yeah. Yes, you mentioned about his peers, and like he is not, because he didn't play AAU with anybody, and he didn't go form a super team with anybody. He did talk Bobby Portis into coming to Milwaukee, but he didn't go, you know, around and join anybody in Miami.
Right.
Come on.
Well, okay, there's two things here. I didn't consider the player-to-player thing. I think if there is some national media that is, let's say, more tepid about what he's doing than they should be, then I would ascribe a good part of that to jealousy, thinking, well, he doesn't belong there. I can't believe he's stuck there in this, you know, working class city in the middle of the country. You know, that's a real thing. You know, the coastal elites that are in the big coastal cities want the stars to be places where they want them, which is not in Milwaukee.
Well, it cracks me up because, you know, it's like, oh, he's got to go to a bigger market to be a star. You don't have to. Didn't we learn that when LeBron was in Cleveland?
Right.
I mean, don't we know that you can be a star anywhere?
Yeah. So there's that. And I think from a player standpoint, they probably just can't quite relate to him because he didn't come up through the ranks with them. And maybe they see him as a bit of a threat to what they like to do, which is to form super teams and call their own shots. And here's a guy who decided to stay in a small market, and now they're going to get constantly asked, why can't you be more like Giannis? And they're like, well, I'm not him, and I want to be like him. Stop asking me. Maybe it's that.
There may be an element of that. It's just tough for me because they usually can appreciate when guys are, you know, he's been ridiculous. It's been Shaq-like. It's what we're seeing. You almost have to stop and appreciate it because we take Giannis for granted, the fact that you can put him down for 32 and 12 every night when he scores, you know, 40. He's
right.
Like, how about, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good times. Of course, they are still down 2-1 in the series in game 4 on Wednesday night. Buckle up, man. That has so much wrapped up into it because there's also a Wisconsin sports martyrdom in which fans are like, it's the curse. We always get close and lose. And I have to remind them, Super Bowl, hello. And they go, well, yeah, except for the Super Bowls. I'm like,
well,
you can't accept the Super Bowls,
then.
God damn it. Yeah. I don't want to hear the since then.
Since then.
Okay, since then. Do you know how many cities, Drew, have gone way more years without shit? Call Detroit and ask them.
I'm sure, yes. Minneapolis, Detroit, yes.
Minneapolis. Above, yeah, actually, Detroit has won some. Red Wings, Pistons.
Yeah.
But guess what? And the Tigers, but get this. Minneapolis really has a sad history.
Oh, no question. No question. Well, they had the Twins in the late 80s, early 90s, right? That was about it. But what's the statute of limitations on a title? When does that luster, that championship city thing, when does it go away, that smell? Because it's been 10 years.
I don't know.
Since the Packers. And in that time, you've had the Badgers go to the Final Four. You've had the Packers lose conference championships left and right. You've had the Bucks were the number one seed, lost a 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals, chance to go to the finals. Well, the Bucks are getting bounced from the bubble last year. You had the Brewers go to the NLCS and lose game 7 at home to LA. I mean, it's been some nut kicking. You got to have a Kevlar cup to be a fan in this.
I know, which would make a championship and a parade oh so sweet and well-deserved. With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe. Pivoting. Stephen A. Smith is in the news a lot. Another day, and this time he got a little bit in trouble for basically saying Shohei Ohtani can't be the face of baseball because, and I quote, the dude doesn't speak English. Was Stephen A. out of bounds?
I think absolutely. I think, well, it was a stupid comment because for the 5 or 6 years before Shohei Mania, Mike Trout was the best player on the planet. He played in the same market for the same team, and no one can pick him out of a police lineup, and nobody's ever heard him at a press conference, probably. And to my knowledge, he speaks pretty fluent English.
Not only that, but Trout basically said, you know what? I get paid a ton of money to hit the baseball. I don't need any more money, and I'm not about that. To the point where I believe this dope of a commissioner kind of called him out publicly and said, hey, we'd love to market guys like Trout, but he's got to help us.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about Ohtani is, like, fans don't care about press conferences or interviews. Like, they care about what happens on the field. The dude is, like, the top-seeded guy in the home run derby. He's starting on the mound in the All-Star game and, you know, has a chance to be the MVP. He's doing stuff that we haven't seen since Babe Ruth. And to suggest that you know, he needs to learn English. Is, I mean, especially coming from, okay, this is a network that fired a guy who was on a sports center on a Saturday morning talking about a Jeremy Lin game and mentioned that one team showed a chink in the armor and he got bounced.
He got suspended, I mean, even though Max Bratos is his name. And he was obviously making a well-known metaphor to metallurgy and chinks in the armor. He's actually married to an Asian woman, but I guess that didn't matter. So, yeah, here was a Stephen A. Smith comment. You can judge for yourself.
But when you talk about an audience gravitating to the tube or to the ballpark to actually watch you, okay, I don't think it helps that the number one face is a dude that needs an interpreter so you can understand what the hell he's saying in this country. And that's what I'm trying to say.
So I can tell you exactly where Stephen A. grabbed the electrified wires on this issue. That a dude, that's disrespectful, interpreter punches it up and then says in this country, which comes off as xenophobic.
Yeah, he hit for the cycle. He touched all the bases there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Giannis would be a bigger star. We were talking earlier. Maybe people would like him more if his name was Johnny Andrews instead of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Right. And if you gave him a backstory that was like, hey, he's from Detroit, and you maybe give him a few tattoos, and you're like, different guy. Name,
watch
image,
Giannis's,
backstory.
Watch Giannis's intro. Yeah, watch his intro when he got drafted and he was 18 and he still didn't know how to drive and everything. His English was, he was hard to understand, right? He had a thick accent, and now he's come a long way. And Stephen A., it was just so short-sighted of him to say that Ohtani, like people actually care about press conferences? People, the fans watch press conferences? That doesn't have anything to do with it.
I don't think they care. I do think, I mean, Ohtani can certainly be the face of baseball. He pretty much is right now. You can't quite make him a gajillion dollars in the States on endorsements if he doesn't speak the native tongue. But guess what? He doesn't care because he's making that much in Japan. I think Japanese stars have always been more hesitant to worry about learning English because they can be so lucrative back home. That's why Hideki Matsuyama, the winner of the Masters, who's been on tour for 10 years plus, can't speak English.
I bet. And here's the thing. I covered the Brewers when Hideo Nomo dropped by for a season. He's a delightful guy. And he had an interpreter with him too. And he spoke English. He understood everything. He talked to his teammates. He just didn't want to do it in the media because the barrier, and if it wasn't his name, and I've seen this with Latin players too,
right,
where they're not as comfortable. And that was a choice he made. And one day I happened to walk into Phil Garner's office on the road someplace to do my little pregame hit. I was the only reporter on the road. And I walked in and I saw that Hideo was sitting with him. I said, I'm sorry, you guys having a meeting? I can come back. And Gar said, yeah, come on in. Hideo's teaching me Japanese. I said, really? He goes, yeah, he's teaching me so that we can talk. And I looked, and Hideo had been with the team for a couple months. And I looked at him. I'm like, Hideo speaks perfectly good English. You don't need to learn Japanese. And he looked at me and he shook his head like, no, no. And he kind of gave me the wave like, no, I don't. No, I don't. Like, you understood what I just said, didn't you?
Right.
He could speak, but he chose not to. It was a conscious choice. Same thing to a point with Ichiro Suzuki, right? And it's like they chose not to. Plus, there were a lot of Japanese media following him around, and he did his press conferences in Japanese for them. And then he did another one through the interpreter with the English speakers, which was a double whammy for a star player. It was easier for Nomo because he only had to talk on days that he pitched, basically, to the States.
Right. If you're a foreign player that speaks both languages, you almost have to do double duty. You have to do more work.
Well, he did because he was answering our questions, and then he did longer in-depth stuff with the Japanese stuff. And that's what Ichiro did, the same thing. But so those guys are under those demands, and it's no different with Ohtani too. And like he shouldn't have to. That's it. But that is not, that's not going to limit baseball. And doesn't it help to have international appeal and like sell the game and get people watching in Japan? You think people are going to watch the All-Star game in Japan?
No.
I think they will.
Yeah, of course it will. Yeah, right. It won't make a difference is what I'm saying. Exactly. I do think, though, when foreign-born stars in whatever sport do learn English, and even if it is full of a couple of wrinkles and syntax errors, it's actually more endearing. It's like when Nikita Kucherov, shirtless, gives us the priceless line of number one bullshit.
MVP, I was telling him every day, Wesley, you're MVP. You're the best player. And then they gave it to whatever the guy in Vegas, the Vezina. And then last year, they gave Vezina to somebody else. Number one bullshit. Oh, number one bullshit. Wesley took both colors.
I love that, by the way.
And I was keep telling him, he's MVP. He's the guy that fucking, he's the best.
By the way, number one bullshit was, I guess, invented by Nurmagomedov, the MMA fighter. He said it in 2014. That's the earliest reference I can get to it. It's now my new number one phrase for anything in life. That's number one bullshit.
That is great. That's fantastic that he did that. Sure. I mean, I'm with you there, but in terms of marketing a game, I just can't get past the Trout example. That no one knows who Mike Trout is, and baseball's problems aren't that Shohei Ohtani doesn't do press conferences. Somebody pointed out today, Derek Jeter played 20 years and didn't say a fucking thing worthwhile in any interview. And it didn't, he speaks perfect English too.
Yeah. The other one I'll get for you here, Alex Ovechkin, who when he came to the States and came to play in the NHL, he demanded that he be roomed on the road with an English-speaking fellow player. Most of the Russians tend to stick together in the NHL. But Ovechkin is like, no, I want to be with somebody. And he learned English to the point where he uttered one of the great trademark phrases prior to the Caps winning the cup. He said, we are not going to be suck this year. And it was like so great. So when they finally won the cup and they had the parade, this is what Ovechkin said.
It's just us saying, we're not going to be fucking suck this year.
I love it. I love it. Stephen A, though.
Joker, him or the other guy?
I don't know. Stephen A, though, the news that, $12 million a year for him, and then the whole thing about Terrible City and everything else, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how ESPN's spending their money. I don't think they're spending it as wisely as they could.
They don't want to pay talent, but they pay Stephen A, right?
And right.
They had him in Phoenix and then doing the UFC fight, then in Milwaukee, and then Monday morning in New York, like flying across. He posted a picture on social of himself flying private to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And then he did the game, and then they flew him. He was in New York for First Take this morning. And so, all right, they're trying to get their $12 million worth out of him, right?
But it's like a chef who puts ketchup. And I would say that Stephen A's takes are as unsophisticated as ketchup. They're putting ketchup in every dish they make. And it's like, stop already,
Yeah.
And they seem to be bidding against themselves. I can't believe anyone else is bidding $11 million or even $7 million. I can't believe they haven't groomed a bunch of Stephen A. wannabes to come through and do it for less. It's not a hard act.
So the beautiful thing about Stephen A.'s Ohtani comments, like put aside the Milwaukee's a terrible city, and he stands by that. He likes being the heel, right?
Oh, yeah.
He did an interview with my buddy Stephen Watson last week. And he said he was disappointed that there were only like 4,000 people that signed the petition to keep him out of Milwaukee. He wanted it to be more. He thought that he was sorry, Milwaukee. Should have been more people. He was playing the part of the Bobby the Brain Heenan wrestling heel, right?
Okay. Sure.
But he goes on the Ohtani take, which, by the way, was premeditated. They don't do anything on that show without storyboarding it, and they had graphics ready. And they knew the question was coming, and he knew what he was going to say, right? So it wasn't like a slip of the tongue. He had the take holstered up because this is what he was going to say. Then he puts out a video saying, you people misinterpreted what I said. I said that, Ohtani's great, baseball's great, but that I said that he'll never be the face of baseball because he doesn't speak English. He basically repeated what he said. And then a couple hours later comes the notes apology. You take to the,
iPhone notes. I've been driving the last couple of hours. I might have missed the notes apology.
You missed the notes apology where he threw himself on the sword. The corporate types got to him because Manfred called Bristol and lit him up. And Bristol is in its own snit because shareholders and Disney and Maria Taylor and Rachel Nichols and Max Bredos and everything else in the history of that company. Stephen A. did the full-on, I'll find it right now for you.
Okay.
He did the full-on notes apology.
You keep talking, I'm scrolling. So, since the time that I was driving home, he did a notes apology.
On his Twitter.
Oh, my God.
On his Twitter.
God.
About
what?
He mentioned
whatever.
The recent violence mentioned recent violence against Asian Americans. As a black man, I should have been more sensitive. He hit all the notes that he didn't hit with his first apology. Take two was a little bit different. Dave.
But at 12 million or 8 million, he's Teflon coated. So, you know what? The dogs will bark, but the caravan will move on.
Well, yeah, but maybe. I mean, maybe with what they're in and with Maria Taylor and everything. Oh, here we go. I got it. You ready?
Yeah.
Here it is. The notes apology. Let me apologize right now. As I'm watching things unfold, let me say that I never intended to offend any community, all caps, particularly the Asian community, and especially Shohei Ohtani himself. As an African-American keenly aware of the damage stereotyping has done to many in this country, it should have elevated my sensitivities even more. Based on my words, I failed in that regard, and it's on me and me alone. Ohtani is one of the brightest stars in all of sports. He's making a difference as it pertains to inclusiveness and leadership. I should have embraced that in my comments. Instead, I screwed up. In this day and age, with all the violence being perpetrated against the Asian community, my comments, albeit unintentional, were clearly insensitive and regrettable. There's simply no other way to put it. I'm sincerely sorry for any angst I've caused with my comments on First Take this morning. Again, I am sorry, and I'll happily reiterate these words more extensively tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, fine. Like a lot of us who don't like cancel culture would be dancing around like Ewoks in the final Star Wars movie if Stephen A. were to actually get canceled and get fired over some dumb shit like this. It's not happening.
No, but he can be, take him out of pocket. Don't let him work the finals the rest of the time,
Yeah.
Take him to the woodshed.
How about don't have him work everything under the sun? How about you trim his expertise to what it is, maybe boxing and basketball, and leave it at that? Enough of his opinions. By the way, the whole thing, I have this clip from the movie Rush Hour with Chris Tucker.
You speak English. I'm Detective Carter. Do you speak any English?
So that's exactly the kind of, stuff that, is at a very high sensitivity right now. And Stephen A. stepped right in it. Fuck him. I'm tired of him.
Yeah. He stepped on the rake, man. And you're right. And it's like, first of all, and the first reaction for a lot of the hardened ball writers that I hang around with, baseball writers and stuff, they're like, whoever listens to what he has to say about baseball anyway, he knows nothing. Mm-hmm. Which you could also say about golf, UFC.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you out of jail just because, we don't take him seriously anyway, So
absolutely. Absolutely. Right. And is this okay, so now let me ask you this. Is this cancel culture if people call for him to be fired? Because he made a lot of enemies along the way. He makes 12 million.
Yes.
Should he be fired for this? No. Suspended? Like off the finals and he's going to off there for 2 weeks and think about what he did and take some sensitivity training. Others have gone down that road.
At this point, Drew, I'm all for suspend culture. Suspend culture would be an improvement over cancel culture. People do genuinely fuck up. People do genuinely need a slap upside the head to be better and to say, okay, I get it. But they need to be given a second chance if their apology was sincere and if the original mistake could be seen in any way as genuine. That's all. So I'm for suspend culture.
I'm with you.
But we seem to have one setting, set phasers to annihilate career and never look back, which to me is a bad policy.
I'm with you.
All right.
Totally with you there.
All right, absolutely. So the Home Run Derby's about to start, and I'm going to watch it here in a second. I don't like, Drew, that so many ball players skip the All-Star game. I know that technically if they get a note from their doctor, they're excused. You could theoretically find players who don't show up. It's gotten ridiculous. And this game is going to quickly go the way of the Oscars if somebody doesn't step up and say, whoa, 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 fellas, this is not a big ask. We fly you to the city. We parade you around in some shitty alternate All-Star uniforms we sell on MLB Shop for way too much money, and you play one inning of baseball. Stop opting out.
Yeah, I mean, they did the incentive. A lot of All-Stars have incentive clauses that appear in the All-Star game. You get, if I make the All-Star team, I get an extra $200,000 or something. They used to do those anyway. Now I think that's kind of gone by the boards because when you pay somebody $30 million a year, you kind of expect an all-star performance, right?
Another
$250,000.
I don't think they even have to show up to collect that bonus either, right? It's just, did I make the all-star team? Yes, ka-ching. The other problem, Andy Poland said this yesterday here on the podcast. He said, you know, they used to play two All-Star games way back in the day. And it's because because they were good money. And the players wanted the money because their regular salaries weren't that good in terms of money.
Absolutely. It was a different time, even into the 70s and 80s, you know. If the winning team got 20 grand a guy and the losing team got 10 grand a guy, they were playing blood and guts, man. They wanted that 10K.
Yeah. Real quick, if you could break into Rob Manfred's office, have full control of his computer, internet access, and everything as they are frantically trying to bust down the barricade that you erected to do what you could do to try to get baseball back to where it should be, what would you do in that 1 hour time?
Man, my main thing still, when I look at the game, for a long time, it was too much jacking around, guys with adjusting the gloves, stepping out. Every game was Yankees, Red Sox, ALCS game seven. You know, everybody was styling and profiling, right? And I thought that was the answer to speed up play. Well, now the bigger problem is the lack of action.
Right
now it's the pitching. So I'm like, they're trying it in the Sally League or whatever, but I'm about, let's think about moving the mound.
Wow.
Let's move the mound back.
How about you make foot, the how about make done. The make the ball a little bit bigger? or make bats that are like synthetic bats that are a little bit bigger. Or I don't know, do something. You're right. There has to be more action per minute. Not only has the pace of the game drawn to a complete funereal pace, but there's less action. It's an even bigger, more expensive bag of Cheerios with less cereal inside of it. Not a good combo.
I was at a game. I was at a game earlier this year at American Family Field. There were 51 outs because the Brewers won. There was no bottom of the ninth. 51 outs, and 27 of them were by strikeout between the two teams. That is the problem.
Exactly. All right, Drew, I can't wait to see you again in less than 2 weeks, and we could be headed for an amazing finish in the NBA Finals and hopefully a parade. Hey. Keep our fingers crossed.
Bucks and six, baby.
Bucks and six.
Maybe seven. if they win game
at
four,
home.
Dave, I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
At home. Then it's the best. Here's the thing. Then it's the best of three, and yes, two games will be in Phoenix, but you've got the best player in the series by far, and the other team doesn't know how to stop him. So I like the Bucks' chances if they win game four.
All right. Good to talk to you as always, buddy. I'll see you at the All Radio Rock Pile tomorrow.
All right, my man.
There you go. You know, they do have a bronze Fonz statue in Milwaukee. It's a popular tourist item, tourist location thing. So there you go. Heady times in the Brew City, no question about it. Let's end on this. You want to start a small fist fight or do you want to start a war? I'll tell you how to do both. Small fist fight. Tweet a picture of two of your favorite box candies, aka movie theater candies, and declare them the Jordan and Pippen of candies. That's what I did. You know what the two candies are? Milk Duds and Good and Plenty. The vitriol that some of you have for these delicious hard pellets. Can you hear them? This is like an AMSR podcast right now. Sorry. I'm even going to eat them on the air right now. These delicious hard but chewy pellets of black licorice. Coated in a pepperminty pink and white shell that just dissolves. It's good stuff. The other being Milk Duds don't seem to generate as much heat from people, although I like them. They've got to be fresh. Excuse me. Both these candies got to be fresh. Here. Can you hear the milk? Here. Since we're going full AMSR, let's get that. bad. There you go. There's the Milk Duds right there. You never know when you're buying them in the box because freshness varies. You get a box of Milk Duds at some country store off the beaten path that might have been there for 3 months. You'll bite into those and break a molar. Same thing for Good and Plenty's. But you get both candies fresh like this. Oh, God. Are you really eating Milk Duds during a podcast? You're never going to get those out of your mouth. I know. Sorry. Hold on. There. I'm now holding my chewed up Milk Duds in my fingers in order to finish the pie. Oh, God. Gross. Well, I don't want you to listen to it. That's all. The reaction on my Twitter feed to this is something that's both beautiful and astounding at the same time. Such vitriol. Not that Milk Duds nor Good and Plenty's have no supporters. I've got my faithful out there. And here's the thing, haters. If they suck so bad, how come you can get Good and Plenty a lot of places? It's not a hard find. We're not talking Charleston chews. We're not talking about nonpareils. This is a frontline candy that I love. Okay. If you want to start a war, here's how you do it. Time Magazine has an essay arguing that we need to socialize air conditioning. Oh, really? The troubled history of air conditioning suggests not that we chuck it entirely, but that we focus on public cooling, on public comfort, rather than individual cooling or individual comfort. So writes a dum-dum named Eric Dean Wilson in Time Magazine. That will start a war right there. You take away people's air conditioning, it's on. At least I think it would be on. Who knows? The reaction to the pandemic restrictions by Western civilizations have been unprecedented, shocking, egregious, and yet accepted by far too many sheep out there. But I think air conditioning would probably be the big deal breaker. How are we going to vote public cooling? How are we going to do public cooling exactly? All right, that's a wrap for tonight. I'm going to go eat the rest of these Milk Duds since they are now disgustingly sitting in my fingertips. Please tell a friend or two if you like this podcast and don't mind the occasional eating of disgusting candy while on the podcast microphone itself. Have a great Monday night, everybody. Enjoy the All-Star Game tomorrow, and we will see you next time. A little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. With baseball in full swing and the NBA playoffs off to a hot start, you can make each and every series matter by having a little bit of something-something in the game with MyBookie.ag. Regardless of whether you're betting favorites or underdogs, player prop bets, or just looking to make some cash, MyBookie gives you tons of options to make all your favorite matches a hell of a lot more exciting. And if you're looking to bet for the first time but don't know what to bet on, we're here to help point you in the right direction. For example, say you see an NBA series in which the team that had been favored is suddenly down 0-1. But you know they're the better team. You know they're going to come back. But suddenly, the series price is a whole lot more attractive now that they're down 0-1. Well, go to mybookie.ag, fire in on that one, and make some sweet coin if it comes home. And if it doesn't, guess what? There's more NBA playoffs to come and football after that. Go to mybookie.ag, sign up now, and use promo code ZABE to get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Let them know we sent you. Use our promo code ZABE to get that free deposit bonus and start your day off with a win. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.